KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky. Now it's 3 degrees above zero. We do look for it to be mostly cloudy today. Just a slight chance of flurries, a high around 17. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network and TV and cell phone repair, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. And, of course, Merry Christmas. In news from around the state this morning, authorities have released the names today of the mother and two children who were fatally injured in a mobile home fire in Davenport. Firefighters had responded last Thursday night to the fire at Five Seasons Mobile Home Park. Authorities identify the woman as 23-year-old Kelsey Klein and her children, Jaden Smead, who was 5 years old, and 2-year-old Carson Smead. Interim Fire Marshal Jim Morris said two other children remained hospitalized Sunday at the University of Iowa hospitals and clinics in Iowa City. Officials have said there were no working smoke detectors inside the home. The cause of the fire remained under investigation. The Federal Aviation Administration is investigating a fatal plane crash in south central Iowa. Authorities believe the small plane crashed Saturday afternoon after striking a power line near the town of Oskaloosa. The pilot was killed, but authorities have not yet disclosed his name. No one else was on the plane. Authorities have not said why the plane was flying so close to the ground. Iowa exports are flatlining, according to the director of the Iowa Economic Development Authority. Debbie Durham says it's worrisome since negotiations over North American Free Trade Agreement are unresolved.
I believe that all trade agreements, particularly ones like NAFTA, that have, you know, should be looked at to be modernized. I don't think there's any issue with that. But certainly, you know, Mexico and Canada are some of our largest trading partners, and that's concerning to us.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, exports of Iowa agricultural commodities dropped nearly 8.5% in 2016 as compared to the year before. Durham says NAFTA isn't the only problem to spot in Iowa's export picture. Australia and other countries are sealing deals in the wake of President Trump's decision to pull out of the U.S. out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Durham's hoping the Trump administration starts striking some bilateral trade deals with individual countries soon to bolster Iowa's export prospects.
The one thing that keeps me up is that. It's a huge part of our economy.
Canada accepted $3.3 billion worth of Iowa goods and commodities in 2016. Mexico was Iowa's second largest trading partner, importing about $2.3 billion worth of Iowa products. Iowa exports to Japan last year totaled $1.1 billion. Corn, soybeans, pork, tractors, and aircraft were among the top Iowa commodities that were exported last year. There appears to be a consensus among Democrats and Republicans in the Iowa legislature that there are problems with Iowa's privatized Medicaid program, but there is less agreement over what, if anything, legislators should do about it when they return to the Capitol in a few weeks. Lawmakers in the Republican-controlled State House are expected to address a range of issues when they gather in January, including taxes and water quality. But Medicaid, the massive health care program for the poor and disabled in Iowa, is less certain to be on their to-do list. That's because there are a range of opinions about whether lawmakers should enact legislation to respond to ongoing issues, or if the change should come administratively through the state agency that contracts with private insurance companies now running the program. Republican Congressman Steve King says he had a healthy conversation with President Trump last week about the Obama-era DACA program. The program has granted temporary legal status to young adults brought into the country illegally when they were children.
President Trump has said on the day that he announced his campaign for presidency, which was June 16th of 2015, that he would end DACA on his first day. We expected that that would happen on January 20th, so this concerns me a great deal.
King says he's upset with the inertia of the program continues. King is urging the president to resist any kind of deal with Congress that would give new legal status to DACA recipients if Congress approves enhanced border security and provides money to hire dozens more agents, prosecutors, and judges to handle immigration cases.
I believe that the president is negotiating against himself. He served up DACA and said, here it is, Congress, you take DACA and solve that problem. Meanwhile, I'm not going to sign a DACA bill unless I get some of these things, or maybe even many of these things.
King has long been a critic of what he calls amnesty for anyone who came into the country illegally. He's urging Trump to do something about granting U.S. citizenship automatically to babies born on American soil to foreign mothers.
We can't be handing out citizenship like candy to the new mothers that are moving into America temporarily to have their babies take their birth certificate and the baby and go back to China or wherever they're coming from. there is an entire industry created over birthright citizenship.
King made his comments on a video statement posted online, and he ended by speaking directly to Trump.
You're a president that's on the path of being able to keep every single campaign promise. You've kept many of them. It's a long list. And those of us who have supported you are exhilarated at the progress that's been made. But right now, there are only two of them out there that aren't actually being kept. One of them is to end and repeal Obamacare. And that's not your fault, at least not in a big way. It's Congress couldn't get this done so far. But when it comes to ending DACA, you can do that with a stroke of a pen.
In a written statement, King used the word constructive to describe his phone conversation with Trump. King plans to seek a ninth term in the U.S. House in 2018. One Republican and four Democrats are campaigning for the chance to challenge his bid for re-election. An elusive goat is in custody, but only after a lengthy police chase through the streets of Des Moines. A resident called police Saturday night after seeing a goat on the loose. The Des Moines Register reports that no one knew where the goat came from, but it had a cut on its front leg that needed a veterinarian's attention. Catching the wayward goat proved to be difficult. The animal was surprisingly fast despite the leg injury and evade officers for about 20 minutes over five blocks. Finally, officers corralled the goat behind an elementary school, and the Animal Rescue League soon arrived. After a veterinarian cares for the leg injury, the goat will be put up for adoption unless its owner comes forward. An eastern Iowa county plans to explore options for keeping food waste out of the landfill, a category that amounts for about 20% of residential trash. Waste Commission Director Kathy Morris says Scott County will consider collecting food waste for composting rather than sending it to the landfill. Morris told the Quad City Times that she plans to recommend in March that they outsource a study into food waste collection, composting options, and community impact. She anticipates the study to cost between $20,000 to $40,000, and it should be complete by next fall. The study would assess whether the Davenport compost facility has the capacity to accept the county's food waste. Iowa's 1987 Groundwater Protection Act prompted efforts to divert items away from landfills. An extensive restoration of a historic one-room school in eastern Iowa City now includes power, but lighting and outlets have been hidden to ensure the structure appears as it did in 1923 when there was no electricity. The Quad City Times reports that the Forest Grove School in Bettendorf was built in 1873 and closed in 1957. The building is being restored through a community effort to return the structure to its 1923 condition. It will open as a museum and an interpretive center. Members of the Forest Grove School Preservation have funded electricity for the building. LED strips are strategically placed above the windows, doorways, and chalkboards to remain hidden. Architect Doug Steinmetz says the work accomplished has been astonishing and a true community effort. And finally, in state news, Iowans who might be considering taking up beekeeping in the new year will have plenty of opportunities to learn what the buzz is all about. A record number of 36 courses will be held across Iowa during 2018 for both a beginner and advanced beekeeper. Dustin Vandehoff, spokesman for the State Department of Agriculture, says the courses are very informative.
These are put on by, you know, a lot of times local extension officers or community colleges and led at the local level, but working with our state apiarist here, we've kind of collected them so folks can get a sense of where all the classes are, and if they're interested, encourage them to look into them and consider signing up.
Most of the classes charge a fee from $35 to $100, though some are free and several are starting next month.
Well, actually, a lot of them, it's a series of classes, and a number actually include a site visit where they'll go out to where a place where they're keeping bees and get an understanding. So there are some kind of full-day classes where it's just one, but many it's actually a series of hour or two classes at night or on a weekend where they'll kind of go through it in a series of classes.
There are now about 4,500 beekeepers in Iowa who manage more than 45,000 colonies of honeybees.
We continue to see interest both at just kind of the hobbyist beekeeper where, you know, maybe they have a hive or a handful of hives that they keep and use the honey, maybe give it to their friends as gifts or things like that. But then we also are seeing growth in the kind of more commercial size where they'll have hundreds or even maybe thousands of colonies where they then, you know, will hire those out to go pollinate crops.
And Iowa honeybees produce about 4 million pounds of honey every year, valued at over $8 million. Meanwhile, the economic value of honeybees as crop pollinators in Iowa is estimated at $92 million annually. You can find out more about the classes, one of which will take place in Council Bluffs in about March, I believe, at www.abuzzaboutbees.com. Our news was brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network and TV and cell phone repair at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.